Well, good morning. So good to be with you this morning. You know, we just celebrated Thanksgiving, and it's a day set aside, right, for giving thanks. And last week, if you were here, we talked about having, instead of Thanksgiving being Thanksgiving, right, being grateful all the time, no matter the circumstances. And let's face it, this week was the easiest week to be grateful. Because for one thing, we had Thanksgiving, so I already received some notes in the mail, greeting cards for Thanksgiving, so that put me in a Thanksgiving mood. And then I got some texts from friends saying, I'm thankful for you, and that was really fun. And I got some emails of gratitude. And of course, social media, which only 3 weeks ago was like a war zone, right? Everyone was fighting with everyone. All of a sudden, the cats and the dogs are back, and the happy family pictures are back, and everybody just loves everybody. So it was just an easy week to be thankful and to be grateful. But it's one day, one week. And so I really have a desire this week for us to really have a Thanksgiving, Thanksgiving attitude and heart all the way through the season of Christmas. So we're going to talk about gratitude again today, but in a different way. And I want you to know that as a pastor, as I prepare for the sermons every week, sometimes God interrupts my rhythm. He will give me a passage early that I don't actually understand how it fits. And this week was no different. Actually, on Monday, he gave me this passage, and I was like, what? This one? You know, and I've learned something. I have 4 years of preaching now that I just trust God. I don't get it. I know that by the time I'm done preparing and I preach it, I'll see somehow the picture. Maybe, maybe not. I'm just obedient. I want you to know this. On top of the fact that I got a passage that I had to really work through to figure out how this fits after Thanksgiving and before Christmas, there was some serious spiritual warfare in our house. The last 2 days, our smoothie family had some rocks in the blender, you know what I'm saying? And we had just about every kind of drama and pain and crying and all sorts of challenges. Yes, I'm airing my family stuff with you. But it was just, I honestly believe there was so much warfare going on. And when you know the enemy is at play is when things get really ridiculous, such as we have 3 dogs because our daughter's visiting us with her dogs. The dogs were fighting. So we had dogs fighting. We had one dog that pooped in the house, another one that threw up in the house. Let's say that's what I dealt with in preparation for today. I only tell you this for this reason. I am convinced that you are here today on a divine appointment. I am convinced that God gave me this passage, and the enemy tried to fight all the way until 11 o'clock last night. I was writing this message all the way to this morning, trying to keep you from hearing what God has to say to you. I don't know what you dealt with before you got here. I don't know if you were thinking, I'm going to sleep in. I don't know if you had a fight on the way here. I don't know what you dealt with, but I'm guessing that because this message was for you, you too felt opposition before you got here this morning. So if that's you, I want you to know there's a word coming your way. All right? And it's going to be about gratitude. And I want for us to have a gratitude attitude all the way from Thanksgiving. But see, gratitude is hard to hold on to, isn't it? And so often, we say, yeah, we'll be grateful, and we're grateful for a minute, and then it's sort of gone. And I don't know about you, but for me, I have this personality type that's supposed to be a strength but often becomes a weakness, and that is that I'm a bit of a perfectionist. Yeah, I'm the one who believes the dishwasher should be handled and loaded a certain way, and the bed should be made every morning. I know that sounds really crazy to some of you, but that's me. And this sort of perfectionist attitude allows me to see things and make them better. Like when I walk into a situation, I want it to be with excellence. I try to make things better. But one of the challenges with this personality, anybody know one of those other than me? Okay, and you're like, oh my gosh, no, that's another one. But one of the disadvantages of this personality is that I can be critical. And often instead of seeing what's good in a situation, I'm the first one to see what's not right. I'm the first one to see the glass half empty. I'm the first one to point out what's broken. That's my challenge with holding on to gratitude. What's yours? What makes it hard for you to be grateful? You see, gratitude has power, an enormous amount of power. Not only does it make us feel good, but it actually changes our physiology. It lowers our blood pressure. It increases our health. Not only does it heal our emotional state, our mental state, it does something to our body. And yes, it makes us more attractive, because when we're grateful, we smile. And you are your best looking when you smile. Gratitude is good for us. What if we were to be intentional to be grateful all the way through this season, no matter the circumstances? What would be different about us? And I want us to, before we get into today's word, prepare our hearts. Kind of, because I honestly believe, because of all the nonsense that I had to deal with for this message, I honestly believe we got to prepare our hearts. Are you ready to prepare your hearts? Okay, so let's go to Proverbs chapter 4 first. Let me read this to you. Verse 20, my son, or my daughter, pay attention to what I say. Turn your ear to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to one's whole body. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. This is wisdom speaking. Listen to what I say. And when we listen to the words of wisdom, we experience life and health. Now, here we hear twice the heart being mentioned. And I want to just clarify something. When we think of heart, we think obviously of the organ, right? But we also think of our emotion, that sweet, tender side of us. We think of that as the heart, the compassionate side, right? But the Hebrew context of the heart is not that only. The Hebrew context of the heart is actually a metaphor about wisdom, about our mind, about our soul, about our whole being. So when it says, guard your heart, it says, guard your entire being, your thoughts, your emotions, your physical body, yes, your soul, your spiritual health, all of who you are, your very essence, guard your hearts. Hold on to that. And then it tells us how we are to guard our hearts. In verse 23, it says this. Keep your mouth free from perversity. Keep corrupt talk far from your lips. And by the way, a quick note. When scripture, especially in the Old Testament, talks about lips, you see that often in the Psalms, it's actually referring to our praise, our worship, our declaration of faith. So often when you see, keep corrupt talk from your lips, it's not just your lips, but it has to do with your spiritual part, okay? Keep corrupt talk from your lips. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your eyes, your gaze directly before you. Give careful thought to the paths for your feet and be steadfast in all of your ways. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Keep your foot from evil. See, evil is always around. Darkness never, ever takes a break. And when we're thinking about gratitude, the thing about gratitude is probably the best protection against evil we can have. Look at it this way. When you are grateful, your mouth is free of irrational, illogical, or twisted words. When you are grateful, your faith is not corrupted. When you are grateful, you do the right thing. You remain steadfast and faithful. When you are grateful, the enemy will struggle to lure you into darkness. That's how powerful gratitude can be. That's what it can do in our hearts. And I want us to protect our hearts this Christmas season with gratitude. All of who we are with gratitude. Okay, now I think we're ready for today's scripture. Are you ready? All right, so let's go to Luke chapter 17. Now, I told you I had a lot of issues this week, actually that's 2 days. And I want you to know something. The enemy picked on the wrong Puerto Rican. It was hard. It was like I was at the La Brea tar pits going through sludge. But he picked on the wrong person, okay? So I hope you have the same attitude I do. If you're kind of sludging through this, fight, my friends. Fight with me to what God has to say to you through this passage. Are we good? All right, let's go to Luke chapter 17. We're going to start in verse 11. Now, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into the village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at the distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. I love the extra sound we're getting with the rain. That's like we're telling a story, you know, we got the fireplace going. Sorry, I just felt good. All right, let me go back. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." Now, how many of you know this story, the 10 lepers? Yeah, okay, good. Now, I know you go, "I know that story." Oh, we have a surprise for you. But I mean, at least I did. I had a surprise when I studied it because I learned that through this story, we're going to see some powerful truths about gratitude or thankfulness. First thing, thankfulness is faith. Thankfulness is our faith in action. Okay? We're told, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus travels along the border between Samaria and Galilee, and 10 lepers come asking him for mercy. Now, for us today, leprosy is sort of a foreign thing. And at the last service, I asked how many people had seen a leper, and 3 people had. How many people at this service? How many of you have actually seen a person with leprosy? Okay, right? It's an uncommon thing. We don't see it. Why? Because I'm told by the research I did that 95% of us now have the antibodies to fight leprosy. And if we were to get it, or we're exposed to it, there are antibiotics, a group of antibiotics, which we can be treated, and over time, maybe 6 months to a year, it would be gone. It's not an issue. Now, in the first century, when this story took place, very different. Obviously, no antibiotics at the time. Leprosy is a bacteria that attacks the skin, attacks the nervous system, basically corrupts and breaks down the body to the point where fingers fall off, toes fall off, limbs fall off. It's a most gruesome, awful disease. I just have a few pictures to show you to give you a sense for it. First, of a man with leprosy, just see the skin lesions that it produces. Then here are some feet of a man. They begin to lose parts of their body, and the skin essentially just corrupts completely. And then here's some feet from a woman. Very, very difficult to walk with this disease. And the worst part, if that's not bad enough, is that you smell. The stench of your body decaying is awful. And people have a very difficult time to be with you, around you. Beth Moore actually went to a leper colony in an attempt to encourage them, and she said she couldn't go in. She tried so hard to go, and she just couldn't get over the smell. That was the condition of these 10 men, and there was no hope for them whatsoever. When we read scripture and we hear about stories of lepers being healed, only they were healed by God's power and by miracles, because there was absolutely no way for them to find any type of healing. These 10 men had the physical pain of leprosy, but it also brought emotional pain. Because obviously when you're in this condition, you could imagine people don't want to be around you. Those who are well don't want to be made sick by you. So families were split apart. People couldn't see their children or their grandchildren or their spouses. They were separated because of the disease. An enormous amount of emotional pain. Financial pain, because of course they could not work or run a business. No one would come to buy their products. And so they were alienated from the community, forced to beg to survive. But that's not all. What's worse is that leprosy caused an enormous amount of spiritual pain. Because in the Jewish context, leprosy was a curse. And if you had leprosy, you did something to deserve it. Something happened. And immediately they were separated from the people of God. And they had to be healed in order to come back to the temple and be reinstated to the community of the temple. The problem was there was no cure. So the minute you had leprosy, you were separated spiritually from your community forever, for the rest of your life. So leprosy was a horrible, horrible disease. Could you imagine being one of these 10 men coming to Jesus? And one thing we know, they came to Jesus recognizing who Jesus was. Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Clearly they had heard about Jesus and the healings he had done. In fact, in chapter 5 of Luke, we see a story of Jesus healing one leper. Listen to this story in chapter 5, verse 12. Come on, Rain, do it again, because that was kind of fun. While Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along who was covered with leprosy. When he saw Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground and begged him, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him. Then Jesus ordered him, "Don't tell anyone, but go and show yourself to the priest and offer sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them." Because if anybody was healed with leprosy, that meant that God had done a miracle, right? Yet the news about him spread all the more so that crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sickness. These 10 men had heard that Jesus could do this, saw the only way out of their predicament was to come and ask Jesus for their mercy, but they do it from a distance. Unlike the first man who came up to Jesus and actually got close and Jesus actually touched him, these men stay from the distance and yell out to Jesus, "Help us." Now listen, yelling was a common thing they did because wherever they went, you know what they had to do? If they saw people who did not have leprosy, they had to say, "Unclean, unclean, unclean. I have a disease that you could get. I am disgusting. Stay away from me." That's the kind of thing they would have to yell all the time. But here they yell, "Have mercy on us, God. Have mercy on us, Jesus." And Jesus reacts very differently. He doesn't touch them. He doesn't come to them. Here's what he tells them. He says, "Go show yourselves to the priests." Now, you got to imagine this. They heard Jesus could heal. They heard that Jesus touched someone and the leprosy was gone. And now Jesus says, "Go to the temple." And they look at themselves and they go, "The only way we can go to the temple if we're healed and nothing's changed. My fingers are still gone. My skin is still disgusting. How can I go there in this condition, Jesus? They will kick me out." And these men, I have to imagine, they had a moment of, what are we going to do? We've been given a command, but it makes no sense for us to do what he's telling us to do. And yet we're told in Scripture, these men did. They went, and they were cleansed. Before they saw the reality of what Jesus did for them, they trusted. See, this is gratitude showing itself through faith. They went and did what Jesus told them to do. Somehow, obviously, Jesus' words were such a way that gave them the sense that something was going to happen. They trusted Jesus, and they went, and they were healed. Their decision to be grateful paid off. And all are healed. Now, you can imagine. They're all walking, thinking, "Oh, okay, this is really crazy. I'm not healed, but I'm going to just go to the temple just like he told us to do. I'm just going to be obedient." How many of you have done that? Well, you're obedient. You're going, "Circumstances don't make any sense, but we're going to go for it, Jesus." And we go at it, and all of a sudden, things start to change. Fingers come back. Toes come back. That leg that was hopping now suddenly is working. The skin is healed. Could you imagine how the commotion that they must have had as they saw each other healed? And they're dancing, I'm sure. They're doing the Puerto Rican dance all the way there. They're like, "Yeah, high-fiving," and they're hugging each other. "We're good, we're well." They're so excited. And one leaves the group and comes back to Jesus. All were healed. All were cleansed. All were healed of their physical illness. All were healed of their emotional pain. And all were healed of their spiritual pain. One man comes back to say thank you. Even before he understands that his gratitude is about to give him the greatest gift of all. How many times do we find ourselves in a place to say thank you for something we yet do not have. How hard is that? I have a friend, his name is Jordan Dusso. His father started a church in New York, and they put all their money in this church. And it got so difficult for them financially. One day they were at their dinner table, and they had nothing to eat. Literally, they used up their cupboards, they had nothing. And Jordan's dad, Pastor Dusso, said, "Hey kids, let's sit at the table. Let's pray our thanksgiving for the meal that we are going to have." And of course, the kids are like, "What, Dad? Okay." And they sat around the table, and there's nothing on the table, and they're praying the typical, "Thank you, Lord, for all your gifts. Thank you for the food. Thank you for your love." And as they're doing this, the door knocks, and it's a lady from the church who felt called by God to bring them dinner that day. They prayed while the table was blank. They prayed while the promise was not fulfilled. They thanked God way before they saw the fruit of that thankfulness. Yes. You see, what if we were thankful to God before we were thankful for what he does for us? What if we were simply thankful for his goodness and his character and the fact that he provides, the fact that he cares for us and our good in all circumstances, regardless of what's before us? That makes thankfulness faith. The second thing we see is that thankfulness is worship. When we are grateful, even when our circumstances are a mess, essentially we are worshiping God for who he is. This man comes back to Jesus. Listen to what he says. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, he came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. Now listen, I believe all the men were happy. I believe, you know, you get healed like that. Everyone's thankful. Everyone's happy. But this man chooses to come back to Jesus, the priest, the temple, and he worships God at his feet. He recognizes where the healing came from, where the ultimate healing can come for whatever circumstances we can have. The already different man, we're told he was a Samaritan, and I don't have time to go through the whole thing, but Samaritans and Jews were enemies. They were at each other all of the time. They had huge differences, and Samaritans wouldn't even go into the Jewish temple because they thought it was in the wrong place. So this man had no temple to go, no priest to go visit. He turns around and goes to the priest, the ultimate priest, and he says, "Thank you." Now listen, it's hard to be thankful when we're in pain. It's very hard to be thankful. Obviously, he didn't have a temple to go to, and he comes to Jesus and he drops to the ground praising God. But gratitude is a form of worship. I told you we had all kinds of family drama this week, this last 2 days. Anybody else with me has some family drama? Okay, don't raise your hand, I understand. You know, we got a big family, and family stuff happens. And last week, if you were here, I told you we're going to have a gratitude jar, and we're going to write Thanksgiving things and put it in our gratitude jar. It was going to keep our families in a peaceful state, and politics was the least of our problems over the last 2 days. But we put this jar in the kitchen, and we decided, Friday, I'm just going to write some things I'm thankful for, even though right now I'm thankful for nothing. But I'm going to figure it out because this is what I preach. I'm going to live what I preach. Okay, and so I took out 3x5 cards and some pens, and I go to write something I'm thankful for while my heart is aching about what's happening in my house. I could not think of a single thing to be grateful. You see, the hardest one, when we're hurting, that's the hardest one. Because we got to shift from the earthly world we're in, from our circumstances, to the heavenly realm. We got to find, I have a billion things to be thankful for. It makes no sense that I couldn't think of one. But it just demonstrated the pain I was in. And when we're in pain, when we're in sorrow, it's hard to take that step to go into gratitude. But you know, once I wrote that first one, oh, I had another one and another one. And I've been filling up that jar. We all have. In the midst of all this, we're grateful for what God's going to do, even though it hasn't happened yet. And that's what I want us to think about. Being thankful, even in the pain of our situations, is a form of worship. Oh, and there's something even better. That's much better. thankfulness is wellness. See what happened to this man when he came to Jesus. Jesus said, "We're not all 10 cleansed. Where are all the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner?" And then he looked at the man and he said, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." Now, this was a gift the man did not know he was about to receive. This was a gift I can guarantee you he didn't ask for. He didn't know what he had just received. There are 3 words in this scripture about healing. The first one in verse 15, it says, healed. The men were healed, which is a Greek word, eome, which means to heal, to cure, to restore, bring back to bodily health, okay? The second word, cleanse, in verse 17, which is a Greek word, katharizo, which means to cleanse or make ceremoniously clean. In other words, spiritually to be made clean, religious term. The third term, which we see here, made well, is the word sozo. It means to save, to deliver, to make whole, to preserve with life, to be saved. Your gratitude has saved your life, not just this life, your eternal life. You coming to God and worshiping me for who I am has given you, your faith has made you well. The gift of grace is given freely. Not that anything we do helps us deserve it or helps us earn it, but Jesus gives to him the ultimate gift. He has physical healing. He has emotional healing. He has spiritual healing. And now he has eternal healing. Gratitude can be that powerful for us. This word sozo is the same word Paul uses in Romans chapter 10 when he's talking about Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Listen to what it says. If you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart, remember, your whole being, that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. There's that word, sozo. For it is with your heart, your whole being, that you believe and are being justified. And it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. Sozo. Here's the picture. Because of his choice to be grateful, this man receives eternal life. Gratitude is our ticket to heaven, you guys. Gratitude is what's going to help us be truly safe. You see, Jesus cared about healing this man's body. And you see in Scripture many, many examples of Jesus healing many people of all kinds of diseases. But what he cared most about was their spiritual, eternal well-being. Remember the paralytic. First, he forgave his sins. Then he healed his body. That's what Jesus cares the most about. God is our ultimate healer. God wants to heal all of humanity to eternal life and relationship with him. It's an invitation to every one of us. And so often we don't come to God with gratitude for who he is. Maybe because we think we're not deserving of it. Listen, I know I did not become a believer until much older. Because I made a mess of my life doing things my way. And by the time I came, I was worried. I had made too big of a mess. It's too late. You know, there's a point where God goes, "Oh, I have to break that card." No. God cares about every one of us. He wants to give us spiritual well-being for eternity. And that's what this man gets. Listen, this Christmas, already this holiday, we know it, it's become highly commercialized. There are people, millions of people, celebrating Christmas, putting up their Christmas tree, decorating their house, singing the songs, exchanging gifts. People of all faiths are celebrating Christmas. And what's the reason for Christmas? It's for us to celebrate that God, the mighty, the creator, the all-knowing, all-loving God, came into the person of Jesus Christ, a child, weak, humble, and gave his life for us. We celebrate that on Christmas, and yet the world doesn't even know it. They're singing songs. What if we, it's okay to do those things, but what if we as Christians, because we are grateful not just for what has happened in the past, but what's going to happen in the future, because our lives are a testament of gratitude, what if we showed the world what the real meaning of Christmas is? The real reason for Christmas is Jesus. And for that, we can be grateful no matter what is happening in our lives, right? I'm going to ask the band to come up. I told you I've been writing these little things to be grateful for. And on your outline, you see I have three lines. I'm one of those people, I do not like people telling me to fill out lines. So if you're like me, I apologize. But here's the thing. It's so easy to look back and think, okay, I am grateful for these things because they already happen, right? Like I'm grateful for my husband because he's there. I'm grateful for my family because they're there, even though right now they're really in my nerves. I'm grateful for my dog. I'm grateful for my health, even though I got a little cold going, right? Those are easy to be thankful for because I see them. Their evidence is right before me. But what about being thankful for what is not yet here? What about being thankful for the thing we desperately wish for, but we don't see any evidence that it's going to come? What if we exercise gratitude in faith, believing in God's character, that He does provide, that He does want our good? And so the list that's before you, the little three lines, is for you to write down three things you're grateful for, but that you don't already have. Now, this is probably not a good time to say, I'm really grateful for the Rolex watch I'm going to get for Christmas, or that car. You know, of course you can write that, but here's the thing. The things in the past are very concrete and very detailed. The things in the future might be a little harder to write because you're not really sure what may happen. But I don't think it's wrong to say, thank you, God, for the job I've been desperately waiting for that I will receive. Thank you, God, for the relationship you're going to heal. I'm already thanking God for how He's going to take the drama of our family and make our family stronger than ever. That's one of my lines. I'm thanking God that He's going to show up in this and heal hearts. Maybe you want to thank God for your salvation. Maybe today you don't really trust Jesus. You don't even know Jesus. But you're thanking Him ahead of time for what He's going to do in your life. Maybe you're going to thank God for how He's going to help you through your cancer or your illness or your financial trouble, even though today the circumstances say otherwise. What if we gathered around an empty table and said thank you to God for the meal He's going to provide? So let's take a moment and just, if you could, take your outline, write three things you're thankful for that are not here yet. Scripture, leprosy was a picture of sin. Although we have come up with an antibiotic to fight the disease of leprosy, there is no cure for sin other than the blood of Jesus. None. There's no cure for our brokenness. There's nothing that can bring us back together with our Heavenly Father than His gift of grace. And so, as we stand, could you stand with me? As we stand and now we respond to what God has spoken to us this morning, One of the distinctives of the chapel, if you're your first time here at the chapel, is that we have these stations where we actually get to remind our hearts of some very powerful truths. The communion table, where we're reminded that God sent his Son to die for our sins so that we could have eternal life, his body broken, his blood shed for you and for me. A free gift you could not earn, I could not earn, eternal life. We go to the cross because sin is still before us. All kinds of things are still upon us, and we fail. None of us are perfect. We're gonna fail. But we can't let the enemy make us believe that we've lost who we are. We are children of God, and that he has no power over us. We don't live in shame. We don't live in guilt. We repent, yes, but we live in freedom. And so we write our sins and we put them on the cross. We nail them as Jesus was nailed on the cross, and we let them go, and we live in the victory that has been won for us. And we have a prayer team around the room. So if you need prayer during this time, this is a good time to get it. We have offering boxes in the back. We're reminded of God's goodness and God's provision, that even though perhaps in your finances things are tough right now, what you have has come from God. He's the one that's provided, and we can give back to him and his purposes out of gratitude for his gifts. And lastly, the candles. Oh, come on. Jesus is the light of the world. That we proclaim with our mouth that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, the season, the reason for the season. And we light these candles to be reminded that we are now the light of the world. We get to define Christmas, not the world. We do, by how we act and how grateful we can be. And then we're going to come back together. I don't want you to run off the doors. Please don't. Wait. I hope it rains. I want you to stay because, listen, May has chosen some beautiful words for us to sing to close this loop and prepare our whole hearts before we go out into the world. So after you respond, come back to your seats and let's praise God together and have him really seal these words deep in our hearts, okay? Let me pray for you. Lord God, I thank you for your children, for the words you've given us today. Father, thank you for what you are already going to do. All the words and prayers that were written, Father, I am just already grateful for the way in which you will answer these prayers. Father, as we respond to your message, would you continue to speak in our hearts? Thank you for your presence here today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead and respond.